Anyone over the age of 60 is invited to join Copper Country Senior Meals at our congregate meal sites that are located throughout Houghton and Keweenaw County. These meals are affordable, nutritious, delicious, and maybe most importantly, a great experience for those who attend. You'll make new friends, meet some incredible volunteers and staff who put the meal on, and ultimately find yourself a community of people you'll create almost a family-like relationship with. The only qualification for this is to be 60 or over. Learn more at coppercountryseniormeals.org or by calling 483-1155.
Welcome once again to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them at phfgive.org. This morning, we meet five contenders for four at-large positions on the Hancock City Council. Now, I need to start with this with a little bit of clarification. There will be six names on the ballot. Michael Lancour filed for this position as well, but then learned, and I communicated with him this past week, learned that he cannot continue to serve on the Hancock Board of Education if he chooses to serve on the Hancock City Council. So learning that, he has decided to maintain his position on the school board and therefore will not be running for Hancock City Council. His name will be on the ballot. That came too late to remove his name from the ballot. So you will see his name there, but he is not actively running for the position, and that's why he's not one of those being interviewed in the program this morning. We start with, and this is done in no particular order, we start with Lisa McKenzie, who is a current member of the council, former mayor of the city of Hancock. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
You were off the council. Why'd you come back?
I really felt that there were some things that I really needed to finish, and I had new energy. You know, I spent nearly 20 years on the city council, mayor for five of those, and, you know, it's after that long period of time, it's, you know, you just feel like you're done. And I got to the point where I felt it was good to have new energy on the council. I was off for about 4 years, and I've regenerated in my energy level, and I really feel excited about some of the things that are going on in all of the communities. And being a resident of the city of Hancock, I felt that it was time to return to give some of my experience and expertise back to the city and the city that I love to live in.
A little thumbnail sketch about yourself for people who may not know you.
Okay. I have been a resident of the city of Hancock for approximately 30 years. I have four children, Matthew, Cameron, Aaron, and Molly, and my husband is Doug McKenzie. He just recently retired from Portage Health as a family physician, so many people know him. And I currently work for the Western UP Planning and Development Region. I'm an assistant regional planner, and I'm very involved in some of the planning activities at the municipal level. I also am a real estate agent. I work for Statewide Real Estate part-time. I am an entrepreneur. I have a rental business, and I have a stable. And
what do you do in your spare time?
Sleep.
Take a look for me, if you would, at the city of Hancock right now. You've been on the council again for the last year or two. Evaluate where you think the city stands.
Well, I really think that the city is in the position to take another step forward. We're in the process of constructing the Business and Technology Park, and my understanding is that there is a lot of interest in parcels in that particular development. So, you know, economic development is so important to our community and, you know, jobs and workforce, that we feel that it's time for this particular development. So we're hoping to have that ready next year. Another area that we've just recently completed was the zoning ordinances to update our zoning, which, of course, as we know, there's concern about some of the zoning ordinances.
It is, as you have said in council meetings and other councils have said, it is a work in progress and open to adjustment.
That's correct. It is a living document, and it needs to be because, you know, our society and our needs are constantly changing. And as a city, you have to be poised to make the changes that are necessary to move your city forward. You cannot stay with those 50-year-old or 60-year-old ordinances and expect them to fit into our society today as we all change. So it's really important to continue looking at those and looking at all our ordinances to improve them. We also have a critical shortage of housing for our community, not just City of Hancock, but countywide and region-wide. So that is as a realtor and as someone that's involved in that, I understand it. And it's really important to make sure that your ordinances allow for good development, thoughtful development from single-family homes, attainable housing, utilizing all that is available. And so our zoning ordinances are the basis for enabling that development for our existing residents, for our students, for Finlandia University and Michigan Tech, also for our seniors. We need to have good housing for seniors, and the city can help support some of those functions with their zoning and with some of the other tools that might be available to them.
What other challenges do you see coming up for the city that you think are going to have to be addressed in the next several years?
You know, funding our police department. We have a fantastic police department. There is a millage.
And a new chief.
Yes, we do. We're excited, although we're going to miss Chief Butler. Just like we miss Chief Bodwine.
Yeah.
We have a great history of police chiefs and police officers. So we do have a millage on the ballot coming up for police to allow us to hire another police officer. So that is continually going to be an issue in being able to support that, a safe community. That's really important to our residents and to the council. Also, our fire department is—it's really exciting to watch the fire department and look at, you know, how they've continued to protect our residents. We had a great report from Chief Lepisto last night about our ladder truck. That it's in good condition and it can be refurbished. And so those are things when you're looking at the possibility of needing a fire truck.
People don't, I think, understand the cost involved in a ladder truck. You're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, you're talking $1.6 million.
Oh, my word.
For a new ladder truck, where we can look at refurbishing ours for somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000, as reported to us last night. That's a ballpark estimate. But those are things that we have to consider in supporting our fire department. We are all volunteer, and I really want to remind everyone that having an excellent fire department, well-trained, well-equipped, helps to keep every resident's insurance rate low.
Absolutely. That's factored in.
A
lot of homeowners don't know that,
they
but
don't.
It's factored in.
I mean, before I was on the city council, I didn't realize that, and so I have taken every opportunity I do to say, yes, you know, having a strong fire department is really important. I have to say something about our DPW. John Erickson is our director. He's doing great work. Our folks the guys on the crew do great work, and they've got always have a challenge with snow. They took on a new project this year.
They're going to build a garage.
They're going to build a garage. Is that amazing? And they did their first big storm drain and sewer line project on Lake Avenue.
Yeah, they're taking on more responsibility and new challenges because that saves the city money.
Yes, and that's what, you know, having the right employees and supporting the administration and the employees to be able to do that and give them the opportunities, that's really important. So I look to help support that and continue supporting our city manager, our clerk treasurer, all our staff, the transit. That's another area where, you know, there's things that can be done that we're working towards and we're looking at.
All right. Lisa McKenzie is a current member of the Hancock City Council running for re-election. Again, we have four at-large seats available in the November election. There are five candidates running, and we'll talk with another one in just a moment. Lisa McKenzie, thank you for coming in for Copper Country today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Todd. Thank you very much for having me.
On to candidate number two of the five who are running for the four open at-large city council seats in the city of Hancock. Welcome into the studio, Zach Osborne. Zach, thank you for coming in for Copper Country today.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
You are a newcomer to the city council. There are three people running for re-election. You would be a newcomer on the council. Why have you made the decision to run?
Well, I come from a small town called Ramona. And I saw firsthand how a small town charm can be kind of warped into everyday big city. And one of the reasons I found is that people don't understand the, I guess you could say, the macroeconomics that goes into changing a lot of these towns. You know, for instance, here in Hancock, I think people have noticed that their property taxes have gone up quite a bit in just the last few years. And I don't think a lot of people make the distinction that a lot of that's tied to actions done by organizations like the Federal Reserve. And when the Federal Reserve artificially dropped its interest rates, it created a wave of real estate speculation that ended with a lot of properties getting bought up throughout the Hancock-Houghton area, which then results in a increase of property value and increase of property taxes. Now, usually
well, an increase of property taxes when the property is sold. Because remember, Michigan property taxes don't go up more than the level of inflation or 5%, whichever is less.
Yes, correct. And so that's why it's only one of the contributing factors. A lot of the other thing that causes these changes in small towns, much like Ramona, is I find that people in real estate, chamber of commerce, and planning start to get too hyper-focused on growth as a single metric for a town's success and really health. And what happens is these towns start to grow at a pace that's greater than the growth in the income of the long-term residents there. So for instance, per a Michigan Tech study on COVID migration that I encourage people to look up online, I believe it's called Upper Peninsula Pandemic Migration Study by Michigan Tech University. And it showed that 20% of the Upper Peninsula residents are retired age, and this number is set to go up over the next couple years as more retirees move up to this region. And a lot of time, these retirees are on a fixed income. And so when values, inflation, property taxes, all these things start to go up, it's these seniors and working class who are sort of caught in the crossfire. And a lot of times when you're, you know, increasing hotels and increasing tourism to a town, a lot of times it's not the seniors or the working class who are seeing the benefits of this extra revenue coming in. Sure, your tax base increases, and sure, some of your downtown shops may seem a little bit of a bump in traffic, but the senior citizens and the working class, who are by and large the majority, I would say, here in the Hancock area, are really the ones to suffer. And so the reason why I'm running and the reason why I'm now involved more in politics is because I've noticed that, and no offense to many of the people sitting on the city council, but a lot of them just don't do their homework. A lot of them don't understand sort of this bigger picture macroeconomics at play. A lot of them don't go into the fine details of really figuring out how these zoning changes, much like the mixed shoreline use ordinance, have the potential to, yes, beautify the city, bring in additional tax base and tourism, but it also has the potential of warping this small town into an unrecognizable big city that's no different than Green Bay, Ann Arbor, San Diego, San Francisco. And when I talk to the residents of this town, just like my small town, they want nothing to do with that. They came here because they want the small town feeling and they want the small town affordability that goes along with it. And I've used this example with a lot of people that I talk to. And I asked this simple question. If Tesla came by and offered to build a 5,000 employee manufacturing plant here in Hancock, you know, would you say yes? Would you say no? Because from a hyper growth oriented approach, like some of these people running for city council, they would say, yes, that sounds great. Just imagine the tax base. Just imagine the development. Just imagine, you know, the
Similar situation developing now in Big Rapids. Major manufacturer coming in, thousands of jobs in a relatively small town, a university town such as you know, we have here. And there's going to be an explosion in needs for housing and things of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times, it depending on who you ask, that could be a positive thing. But I think the people who view it as a positive thing, every single time, they always stand to benefit the most that I've found. And this is a consistency that I've noticed in every small town. I call it sort of the Aspenification, you know. A lot of these small mountain towns in Colorado used to be these nice, quiet, small, out-of-the-way places, and then they've just exploded. And now you won't be able to find anyone who's lived in those towns, you know, 30, 40 years ago, because they've all been priced out and forced to go to more rural, more cheaper areas. And it's just kind of that crushing wave of urbanization and, I mean, really, there's a term for it. It's called gentrification. And when I see the shoreline mixed use approach, I see something that has a lot of potential for good, but I see something that has a lot of potential for that gentrification to occur as well. And so I think it needs to be done carefully. And I think in some areas, the shoreline mixed use really should be rolled back. And this is probably where I may get the most blowback, but it's what I really want to go to the heart of, because this really seems to be the core issue for a lot of voters, is I think that in some areas it needs to be reassessed. The zoning needs to go back to the residential or conserved, and they need to create an overlay district for shoreline mixed use. Because as it stands right now, they've opened the way for that entire shoreline down in Hancock to be turned into Airbnbs, hotels. And if they get special permission from the Planning Commission, who's sort of the yin to the yang on this thing, they can even approve, you know, private yacht clubs and other things like that. You know, hotels, yacht clubs, extra Airbnbs. Who here is a average working class or retiree of Hancock and stands to benefit from something like that?
Zach Osborne, I don't want to push you along too much here, but we have limited time.
Of course.
Are there other issues that you would want to see the council address?
Yes, I'd like to see the council maybe put a little bit more of their time and energy into looking at daycare facilities here in Hancock. I've spoken a lot about the working class, and one of the things when I talk to the working class is they feel like they need not only more daycare options, but affordable daycare options.
It's an option that the Houghton County Board of Commissioners looked at just this past week and allocated $200,000 to try to make some investment in that as well. So
there we go. And I really applaud those efforts. And I know one of the things that I'm working on, and this is sort of the affordability thing, because there's a, you know, like with everything, when you do a deep dive into something, you really look at, you know, what lies behind. Because my big thing is what keeps daycare so unaffordable for people. And that's because there's a lot of regulatory issues that come with that. And so what I'm looking at doing right now, and I've been talking to members of the city about this, is looking into connecting the large senior population that we have here in Hancock and pairing that and basically trying to turn them into some form of informal daycare services. And so I would still look into making sure that there's the proper background checks and first aid certifications, but really tapping into that pool of seniors who are idle and have, you know, house space to spare, and parents who have kids who just need somewhere to stay, whether they're waiting for the bus or maybe after school. So instead of them needing to go to some facility that's had to go through millions of dollars of infrastructure, regulatory compliance, we kind of go back to more old school methods where, you know, you would just have someone that you trusted living on your street sort of watching after your kids. And under current Michigan law, it's actually really difficult to do that. I think it was just a couple of years ago, a woman was fined by Michigan because she was watching the neighbor's kids while they were waiting for the bus. The bus stop was right in front of her house. And she was gone after basically by the state for doing so. But she held fast, and she was actually able to change Michigan law to make it legal for her to do that. And so the precedence has been set that the community can rise up and start to address some of these issues without waiting for, you know, big, massive expenditures by the government. We can't always be looking to the government to be throwing money around to fix every little solution. Sometimes it does come down to the community. And I'm looking at some very community-oriented solutions to the daycare debacle here in the Houghton Hancock area.
Yeah, it is certainly an issue. And like I said, there's a lot of people looking at that right now. And some creative ideas to push that forward would certainly be appropriate at this point. Zach Osborne is one of the five candidates running for the four open at-large seats on the Hancock City Council. And we are out of time, Zach, but you've got some interesting ideas. Thank you for coming in and sharing them here on Copper Country Today.
Thank you for having me.
Our third of the five candidates that we're talking to in regards to the Hancock City Council race is Margot Pizzi. Margot, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Margot is the second of the five who is not currently on the Hancock City Council. Again, there are four positions open. There are five people running. Margot, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I moved here from California in the 70s, raised four children. A small business owner, very active in school when the kids were all going through it. And like I said, just active in church. I've been in the community. I've been Daughters of Italy president for many years. I was American Legion auxiliary president. Active in church.
Okay. Why run for council at this point?
Time to give back a little bit. I kind of retired and took some time off and now ready to jump back in with energy. And
a little itchy, are you? Is that what I'm hearing?
Maybe.
Okay. Give me a bit of an assessment, if you would, of the current state of the city of Hancock. What do you see about it that you like? What do you see that you would like to change?
Well, I guess my first thought is, okay, a little town has to grow. When we need jobs, we need to fill our storefronts. The technology park, I think, is a good idea, and I hope it brings in, you know, some businesses that we need. But on the other hand, I don't want to lose our small town feeling, I guess is the way to say it.
No, I understand that. And then there's a big challenge that you're verging on here, and that is how do you control growth so that the community stays healthy without going completely out of control? I had a friend who invited me to apply for a position in Traverse City a few years ago. He said, you'd love Traverse City. I said, no, I loved Traverse City 50 years ago.
Yes.
Now, it's just a big megalopolis down there, and it's one of the reasons I enjoy living here.
Right. I grew up in a very big city in California, and I love my small little town, as I put it. Now, here, everybody, you know your neighbors, you know the people in your town, most of them. You can say good morning to somebody and they don't look at you like, what do you want? What's going on?
Yeah, almost every time I go to the store, I see someone I know.
Right.
And it takes me forever to get in and out of the store because I have to talk to them for a while.
Right.
And such.
You have to visit and, you know, how are you doing? And if somebody's having a bad day, well, you talk about it. That's what neighbors do. You know, you help each other. You say prayers for each other, and that's just the way it is. And that's my small town. I love that Hancock at Christmas time, and we have our walk at Thanksgiving, and everybody's out, the community's out. Yeah, it's cold, but we're having a good time.
We know how to handle the cold.
Right.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hakenbive is going to be back this year.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All of these things make this a unique and wonderful area. And yet at some point, as you mentioned, you do need to have some expansion. You do need to have some growth. At least you need to fill in the gaps because there are always things that are dropping away.
Right, right.
So what kind of things would you envision that the city can do that would help to get the kind of growth that you would like to see?
With our small, empty storefront, excuse me, that we have downtown, of course, those would have to be small little businesses. But the technology park, from what I understand, reading about it and seeing it, it's going to handle like bigger businesses, bigger, you know. So I don't know. I don't know if the city has actively searched for businesses, or I don't know how, to be honest, how they work with people right now for businesses. I guess that would be the biggest thing, seeing if maybe we could get some of the bigger businesses in. You know,
and
Houghton seems to have a draw for the bigger businesses, and Hancock doesn't really seem to get them. So I'd like to see maybe a Home Depot, or I don't think Menards would come, but it would be nice to have something in the area like that.
Would you want to see a Memorial Drive basically heading up the hill in Hancock, or where would you put it?
Yeah, that's just it. Okay, so is our technology area big enough to handle things like that? I don't think so, not yet. We do own some property that's up in the back of that, so maybe opening that up, I don't know.
What other kind of things would you look at? Recreation types of things, social services types of things, you know, work with youth or seniors, childcare, things of that nature?
Well, we do have the health department on our side. Yeah, we have a few group homes, I think, you know, for our disabled, which are great. I think just in general, trying to maybe see what we could do about small businesses with our store, you know, fronts downtown. Houghton has the same problem, I think.
Well, I think most downtowns do, and unfortunately a lot of the small units downtowns these days aren't necessarily what businesses need to work with, and that's been one of the problems.
Yeah.
You know, businesses tend to be, if you start them a little bit larger these days, you can't necessarily fit every business into a 25-foot-wide storefront anymore, I guess. Of course, Hancock recently took possession of the former Risto's Hardware building. The Downtown Development Authority has purchased that. And I'm not quite sure what they have planned for it yet. And I'm not sure if they know either.
Would you
have a suggestion as to what might be done with that space? Because that's right downtown, prime spot.
My thought on that space, I think it would be a good place to put like our Tory Market, have it open to vendors that are small little vendors, you know, just make it, I don't know, like a market area, I guess, is the way to put it. Because there's two floors there, what I understand. Yes, basement and the top. So that would, to me, that would be a perfect place. It'd be right downtown. It would give, like I said, the little vendors a place to go. It'd give them shelter for winter. You could hold, you know, they'd have be able to do their Christmas stuff like that. But also, it's a good place for a business that needs a little more room. I think that'd be a perfect place also.
Little business incubator type of thing?
Yeah, sure.
Perhaps? Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they have planned with it and what their intentions are. I haven't gotten into it that deeply with them. But
maybe
that's,
something from the, I call it the old hospital, which is an incubator. Maybe somebody there needs to move into a bigger space. That would be something, you know, to look at.
So recreational activities, they've done some improvements. We've got pickleball courts, things of that nature. A good direction for the city?
I think so. Recreational is always good. I'd like to see maybe a little more of our waterfront being put into maybe day parks, I think is the way to say it. Because we have our
you mean
our along, campground along our lake shore.
Along the lake shore, yeah. in the city itself, right, as opposed to Hancock Beach.
Right.
Okay.
Kind of like what Houghton did. I think that's a good idea to have some walking trails, biking trails, whatever you want to call them. Things like that I think are really good. A picnic area. Yeah, we have the beach, but maybe something more towards town,
okay.
central town area, you know, where people, families could go.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time here, but Margot Pizzi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
She is one of the five candidates running for four at-large Hancock City Council seats, and we'll be talking with a couple more as Copper Country Today continues in just a moment.